Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my worst leadership moment. You may be surprised, who is this voice? My name is Andrew Stotz, and today I'll be interviewing the one and only Brendan Rodgers. Brendan, are you ready for your interview?
Mate, I absolutely am. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Yeah, well, it's a great swap idea to get your story. I know that I shared my story and other people have been sharing their stories. So it's really exciting to get, to hear what your story's about. So first of all, tell us about your background and what brought you to where you are today.
Mate, I will. Thanks for asking. And what I just want to tell our listeners too is this is an idea that came to me about, Andrew's got a podcast called Your Worst Investment Ever, which is a fantastic podcast, done 800 plus episodes. And I've spoken on other episodes of My Worst Leadership Moment and yours actually, how this came about. But it was like, geez, maybe I can add an extra episode. And Andrew, how good would it be? In my mind, how good would it be if Andrew could interview me? So, mate, thanks for agreeing to that. It's an honor to be interviewed by an esteemed gentleman like yourself, buddy. But a bit about myself. My journey is actually, I started in the corporate space when I was 19. I started in one of those sexy industries that everyone strives to get into, and that was container shipping, global shipping of all industries. So I spent over about 23, 24 years in that industry, which I loved. It's certainly not an industry, despite what I said that I saw myself going into. My father was in some sort of shipping circles, had his own business. And in those days, back in early 90s, then you got a job the old way. It was generally through word of mouth, and an opportunity was available. So I interviewed for that along with a few other people, was lucky enough to move into the role. It was an accounts payable role. So I started in that role in learning a bit of finance and accounting and stuff like that, and just worked my way up. And I spent time in global shipping companies working in Australia, working in the UK, working in Europe, working in Asia, traveling, all of those sort of great opportunities that global businesses give you. I spent probably the first 5-6 years of my life in the day-to-day side of shipping, so cutting my teeth, so to speak. And then from there, I was able to lead some teams and learn some leadership and do some project management type stuff, manage global system implementations, some would say effectively, some would say not effectively, but I learned a hell of a lot. So really great opportunity. I led business improvement teams around the world. I led agency teams around the world. So just really great opportunities that gave me the opportunity to actually do what I do today, which is I work with business owners to help grow their business and to develop better as leaders, because I fundamentally believe that businesses sort of rise and fall on the sort of leadership.
It's interesting, because I'm thinking about when I was getting out of university, I went to work at Pepsi, and I probably would have had a similar rise as you did. Mm. But after 3 years, I left to go teach finance in Thailand, and it's such a different detour. So I admire your stick-to-itiveness to go and, continue to pursue. I'm just curious what was the biggest challenge before we talk about your worst leadership moment? Like, what was the biggest, challenges as you rose up? Like, what was different from when you first started to as you started to rise in leadership there?
Well, I think fundamentally the biggest challenge is, as you seem to rise up the chain, I guess you could say, you tend to deal with more politics in organizations. And politics, as we know, is never good. But when you enter an organization, you don't see those sort of things. At least I didn't, whether it was naivety or not, or I just didn't know it, I'm not sure. But certainly as you moved up the chain, as you led more people, you started to deal with more senior people in the organization, or you became one of those senior people in organizations, the relationships seemed to become more strained, and the trust that was there was diminished. Therefore, that created politics and people sort of jostling around. And to be fair, ultimately, that was the side of corporate that I really didn't like, and it just didn't feel right to me. It wasn't a game that I liked to play. And ultimately, that's what sort of forced my hand to some extent of saying, hey, I think I'm on a different path to what I seem to feel a lot of corporate people are on. And that's where I started thinking, I want to do my own thing. I want to have the opportunity to work with people who I want to work with people who want to get help, and they're invested their own money in getting help. And that's why I deal with the business owners that I deal with today. And I proudly say that I really don't have any corporate clients because it's not a space that I really wanted to venture back into.
Mm. My last question before we get into your worst leadership moment is, can you remember the day when you made the decision, maybe told your wife or told a best friend, that's it, I'm out?
Mate, I can't remember the day. I remember the year, 2011. Mm. And you know, I changed roles and I was really, it was never a case of not being happy with the roles that I got the opportunity to move into. I found those privileges and they were such great learning opportunities. But it was as senior leadership change in organisations that I dealt with, head office moving to Singapore was one of the things I was involved in, the head office in Sydney, and just the challenges that came with that. So it wasn't a one day, it was a deterioration of my love of the journey that I was on. Thankfully, I loved the role, otherwise I would have tried to probably jump ship earlier and the roles that I was in, but it was just more the, what I would say, the character of the people that I dealt with more and more that really just felt misaligned for me. So that gradual chipping away at my own sort of esteem and like, geez, I'm not sure this is right for me. So I just put steps in place to actively move away from that environment. And my ideal outcome was trying to get a redundancy. And not that that was sort of something I kept to myself, but you know, if I could get a redundancy, because I'd been with the business almost 11 years at that time. And thankfully that I figured that would happen in the end because of the office or the head office move from Sydney to Singapore, and I got my wish. So it was fantastic. I was probably one of the happiest people ever to be retrenched.
Well, now it's time to share your worst leadership moment. And since no one goes into their worst leadership moment thinking it will be, tell us about the circumstances leading up to it, and then tell us your story.
Mate, my story goes back to late 99, year 2000. Remember the old Y2K bug that didn't sort of quite eventuate? We do. We're of that era, mate. But so this was the very, very first time I started leading a team. And the team was a large team. It was a team of 12 people. I'd been involved in the project to centralize all of our operations from around Australia into a central point in Australia up in Brisbane. And so I got the opportunity to become a team leader through the great project work that I did in my part of the project. They gave me this opportunity to become a team leader. I was happy to move back to Brisbane because we were living in Sydney at the time. My wife wasn't from Brisbane, but I was from Brisbane and my family was in Brisbane. We had one young child at that stage and so we wanted more children. So it was a great place to go back to from family reasons. So anyway, I was leading this team of people and I was just a brand new leader. I'd had the opportunity to lead semi-professional football teams because I played a lot of semi-professional football. So what I didn't realise was that those leadership skills that I'd learnt in the sporting space and how they then transferred into the corporate space. And it wasn't a direct one-for-one transfer, but it was the concepts of sort of leading by example and, you know, how we talk with people and, you know, all the commitment, the discipline around certain things, you know, setting goals as a collective. You know, on a sporting field, it's pretty easy. I mean, the goal is to get that ball into the net more times than the other team. So there was all that sort of alignment. And none of that I really knew the power of when I led to come and lead a team like this. And that what ultimately happened was that in my early time of leading this team, I made some really strange decisions. But one of them was just about something as simple as a roster. Now, people are probably cringing out there and think, yeah, I hate rosters as well. I do too. But actually, we often make it harder to create rosters because I was leading a team in this service center and the opening hours were like 7 till 7 or 8, 7 till 8 or something, 8 p.m. in the evening because we were covering Australia. And I created this roster. I'd not listened to my team. They gave me feedback about how they think the roster could work. I thought that I was a leader. I knew best. I didn't need to listen to them. My job is to create a roster. That's what I was told, and I did. And I almost had anarchy, to be honest. And it wasn't until my boss came to me and said, Brendan, what the hell are you doing? Why are you not listening to your team? Why didn't you take this feedback on board and just sort out the roster the way they'd like it? I just had this innate need for fairness, and I felt that if people weren't doing all elements of the roster, that was unfair. But my team was telling me, hey, this is what we do, this is our personal situation, this is how we think you could, you know, make it happen. And I just didn't listen. And that created all sorts of frustration, all sorts of disconnect about me and leading the team. Competent, I was very competent in the role as understanding the industry and all those sorts of things. But yeah, just not listening to the team through something as simple or actually turned out to be as difficult as a roster, it created mayhem in the team. And it was a bit of a mess to clean up, to be honest. In the hybrid working world, I've seen too many business owners and their businesses suffer because of poor performing employees, leading to below average results. If you want to improve your employees' performance to deliver consistent results for your business, you have to master one-on-one meetings. The doors to our Master One-on-One Meetings training program are opening soon. I'll teach you how to improve employee performance and deliver consistent results using one-on-one meetings. To be one of the first people notified when the doors open, go to leaderbydesign.au/waitlist. Don't wait, sign up now.
Just the idea of, you know, I'm the boss. I know what's right, and you know, I can figure this out. But yeah, even simple things can get messed up. So what was the impact and what did you learn from it?
Like, the impact was that, like I said, that disconnect with the team, they lost a lot of trust and my credibility reduced greatly. Again, it wasn't about my technical competence. It was like, hey, you're leading us. You're not even listening to us. We're giving you a solution. And, you know, if I had my time again, what would I do? Well, I'd say, hey, you know, we know the hours are, we've got this many people on the team. Hey, how about you guys come up, work together and create a roster, and then let's have a conversation, see how we go. Without a doubt, 100 out of 100, they would have come up something better than what I could by myself. So the impact, that disconnect that created, that loss of credibility for me, which I had to try and rebuild, I damaged some individual relationships in that team more than others. And some of those become irreparable, and people that were actually pretty good team members, and I'm thinking I'm a pretty good leader and I wasn't, but pretty good team members became really unreliable and not great team members and subsequently left the game. So it was such a simple process and a simple question, hey, Brendan, make sure you create a roster that's needed for the team, which I'd never done before. And it was almost like one of those situations which is a cardinal sin in leadership, and saying, hey, go and sort this out, but actually you don't have the competence to do that. I want to say creating a roster in itself is bloody simple, but taking the dynamics, taking the nuance into that, taking people's life situations into account, that is where the power sits in actually doing something that's that works and doesn't damage connections and relationships.
The funny thing about it is your work life at the moment would have been even easier if you had just given it to them and said, hey, you guys 100%. Figure this out the way it works. So yeah, we hold on to things. So how has it shaped your leadership journey?
It shaped it a hell of a lot. I don't know if I would be doing what I do today without that experience. It was almost like, dare I say it, the experience that I had to have, because, again, from a professional or a semi-professional sporting background, I was always about improving myself, trying to be fitter, trying to be better, develop my skills, have good relationships with my teammates, all those sort of things that made you a good team player in those sort of sporting environments. So I... from that moment in the corporate space, it was, you know what, I need to strip back and take control of how do I become a better manager, a better leader. What do I need to do in order to do that? And what I did was just start to read and consume personal development books. That was my single biggest factor that influenced me about, you know what, I've just seen, and it's not that my boss and the people, the senior people I worked with were bad, but they were fantastic people. But actually they didn't have the experience of even taking someone under their wing and mentoring them and coaching them in a first-time leadership role. If they did, they would have done it. I know that. So they didn't have that experience. So that it was sort of the blind leading the blind to some extent, just relying on technical competence. So from that day forward, I can honestly say that I pivoted into, I need to consume as much information as I can. And I needed to do that quickly because I was living and breathing that moment of trying to be good at my job, which meant good at my job was leading these people. I learned how do I coach these people to become better technically, because most of the people had no experience in the shipping industry. So that put me on my leadership development path. What it also taught me was that don't make excuses. I was never a person for excuses. Don't make excuses that I could blame the company and I could blame my leader for not giving me this or that or whatever. Well, I didn't ask. In some perspective, some would say I actually didn't know what I needed. I didn't know that mentorship was one of those things that I should try and grab. I didn't realize the sort of training that could be available. I just said, you know what, whatever I got to do, I'm going to make this happen myself. And that's where my drive for real, what I follow as self-reliance, came in. Anything I want to do, however I want to grow myself, develop, I'll always look first at how can I make this happen? What do I need to do? How can I connect with great people that know a bit about this? How can I learn from them? What can I read? Today, information is freely available, so it's even more prevalent than Googling or ChatGPT and get some guidance and tons of books out there. So in summary, that was my journey into the self-improvement pathway. And what I mentioned before about the connections that I created in the sporting environment, I learned how to better connect with people through relationships. I started to develop better skills as a leader and develop my competence as a leader, just not the technical competence. And all that involved me becoming a better person, which is what I talk about, my own character and developing my own character. And lo and behold, to wrap this all up, hopefully in a little bow, 25 years later, my three-pillar system around developing leadership and empowered entrepreneurs is developing character, building competence, and creating connection. And each one of those pillars, there's work to do. But if you work on those three things across the leadership landscape and as a business owner, then you'll do pretty well.
That's amazing. I mean, one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking was the idea that a car has a reverse on it for a reason. Sometimes when you get yourself in trouble, you can just reverse out of it and you don't have to plow ahead, you know, when you find that something doesn't, you know, work. And also just hearing about how simple mistakes and, you know, leadership, you know, problems and issues that we face, they really do define us. They define who we are, what we become, what we grow to be and what we grow to offer. And I just, you know, want to say that I've appreciated getting to know you and getting to know you on my podcast, getting to know you coming back on yours, and now getting a chance to hear your story. So I just want to thank you for that. I know for the audience and the listeners and the viewers, this is a great opportunity to hear what's behind the curtain. So thanks so much.
Mate, it's an absolute pleasure. And thanks again for your comments. Look, I think the thing that, again, you and I resonate on a number of different levels and for different reasons, but I think one of the things that's consistent with people like you and I, and I've spoken about this on my own Leader by Design podcast, is that, you know, I don't want to sit here and I don't want people to take it as I'm knocking people with coaching certifications that, you know, they've got great intent and they want to learn, and those coaching certifications give them a little bit of credibility and some frameworks to help them build a business. But, you know, we've gone through the school of hard knocks. We've actually experienced this stuff. Why am I so passionate about leadership and helping business owners get the best out of their business, get the best out of themselves, get the best out of their people? Why? Because I've been through that process. I know how it feels. And believe me, it feels shit when you are shit. Yep. And that's what I was. I was a shit leader. I needed to be better and I needed to take charge of doing that. And what I also now know and what I've learned over time is that as business owners, if we are better people, if we're running better businesses and we've got pressures off us financially and all those sorts of things that come with business and having reasonably successful businesses, we just feel better. We feel more confident. We become better family members. We become better parents, better aunties, better uncles. We start to contribute more to our communities. All of these great things that just flow in as a small business owner, if you can have some confidence in your ability to lead your team of people, to lead your business, you feel better about yourself. That puts you in a better feeling, better frame of mind when you're with your family, friends, and spending time with yourself, contributing to the community. And overall, that just makes a better environment, better community, better world. So this is why I am so passionate about what I do, is this one little thing in the corner of my area. If I can impact people and create good for them, then I believe it just has a massive roll-on effect, a massive impact. And I know you've been through similar experiences like that, and you do what you do because you've got a similar essence about you in driving that.
Ladies and gentlemen, take the opportunity to clear away the wreckage of your past by reviewing your worst leadership moment and hearing other people's leadership moments, their worst leadership moments, and learning from that. And I learned a lot from this one. So I just really want to, again, thank you for sharing and keep up the great work.
Thanks for having me, mate.